Hi, Mayor.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you today?
Doing fine, thank you.
This last week of September, it's quickly winding down.
Yeah, it definitely feels like fall is here.
It's starting to look like it, too.
Indeed, yeah.
Leaves are falling, for sure. So I saw the pictures of the project up at Forbes Hill Park with the new basketball court, new pickleball court, new playground. Looks great.
It is shaping up really beautifully. It's a big project that we made the decision to undertake to wrap the whole project together, meaning the Forbes Hill Park along with the Prince Brook Golf facility. And we had a lot of meetings, as you know, and there's a lot of input. Worked with Councilor Ian Kane and Dave Murphy, Commissioner of Natural Resources, and his crew overseeing it. It's really coming along really, really nicely. And by the spring, everything should be finished.
Yeah. Can people currently use those facilities? Is that open?
They are certainly using the golf. I don't know about the other facilities at this point.
Okay.
But I know that people can access it. So whether they're actually, I don't know if they've got the painted lines on them and stuff yet. But
right. Okay.
You may be a step ahead of me.
So no, I don't think so. But I will take a ride up there and check it out.
I think I will as well.
I know part of the project is to restore the historic water tower. Any update on that?
No, I know that they've been working on that. A couple of different things. One is the stone tower is in good shape. People don't realize it's a steel lining inside that held the water. And then there's a roof on top, and there's a stairway that reaches up to that roof. The stairway goes between the steel tank and the outer stone. And, you know, the roof has been in tough shape. The stairway is in really bad shape. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they're looking at that, how best to address it, and then fix it up. The stone itself is in great shape.
Oh, okay.
Quincy granite, of course. I think it's a visible monument, really, to the Quincy granite industry in many ways. But yeah, so the idea there is to get everything off of the tower antenna-wise. I don't think it's much being used anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then tighten that roof up and secure the facility.
Oh, very good.
Perhaps do some uplighting and things.
Yeah, the view must be incredible up there.
It is. There's some particular stat that it's within proximity to the ocean. It's one of the highest points on the East Coast.
Really?
I got to pull that stat out. It's an interesting stat.
That is interesting, yeah. Hmm. With regards to the golf course, how's that coming along?
As far as Redis Brook?
Yeah, the clubhouse.
Oh, it's going well. Yeah. It's going very well. It's certainly all closed in, so it'll all be finished work inside during these colder months. And I don't know the exact date when it'll be finished. Hmm. It's a question for Dave Murphy, but it really is looking beautiful. And you know, again, we listen to the neighborhoods on that. So it's positioned pretty much like the other clubhouse in that, you know, the views, the deck and so forth face what would be the best views of the course facing out toward the water. Beautiful, beautiful setup. And, of course, all the activity for our cots and everything also face the course. So trying to minimize whatever noise impact it could have been on the surrounding homes. But I think it's been well designed, and the contractor up there is doing a great job.
I know a big part of the project is flood control, right? Drainage control.
Yeah, there are always drainage issues up there.
Yeah.
And some of that was because of the reservoir there that was filled. But our public works, Paul Costello Engineering, and again, working with the various folks, we pretty much able to figure all that out, where to direct it and how to connect it in the storm drain system. So that should alleviate some of the challenges that people have had around that. You never think there'd be flooding on hills, right?
Right,
but,
right.
Because of the ledge in the properties, it does create challenges for people. So hopefully this will resolve, if not all of them, most of the challenges that people have had up there.
That's great. Can we speak a little bit about a new appointment at the Quincy Historical Society, Mayor?
Sure. I think many folks that deal with Quincy Historic have gotten to know Alexander Elliott over the years, working under Ed Fitzgerald's tutelage, and done a great job over there. And we decided to do a new partnership with Quincy Historical Society. As you know, the building is city-owned and leased to the Historical Society over the years, and we've partnered on a lot of things, and we've made Hotel Tax monies available to help some of their budget challenges. I mean, they are the preservationists for Quincy history, so it's certainly a partnership. And you know, this year we upped the hotel tax monies, which is able to fund the full salary of the executive director there. So looking forward to working with Alexander going forward. We also know that Ed will still be around. Mm-hmm. I think he's looking for a little more time off. Well deserved. Sure. He's quite a guy. So I think it'll work well for both the city and the Historical Society.
So does this make the society now part of the city government, or is it still a separate entity?
No, it's still a separate operation. I mean, they recommended to me, the board did, mm-hmm. on who should be the director, and that's the way to be going forward. So there is the separation, but there is the collaboration and partnership.
Mm-hmm. I know they'll be an integral part of Quincy 400 next year, I'm sure.
Indeed, absolutely.
Yeah. And, Dr. Ed, I'm sure, will not be far off as well.
That's right. And he's a true gem. We're fortunate to have him.
Really is, yep. Speaking of appointments, two new police officers sworn in just yesterday, Mayor.
Yes, we took two lateral transfers. Both individuals have great Quincy roots, Joseph Canavan and Alyssa Sayers. Joseph was on the Brookline Police Department. Alyssa was on the Abington Police Department. Both, I think they're on maybe a year or two at the most on those departments. They're both young and, again, come from great Quincy families. And we, as you know, we have big departments, police and fire, and there's constant retirements, Joe. So we try to keep the numbers up as best we can. And this won't solve it, and the police will be calling for a list to fill another 10 positions going forward. And we're working similarly on the fire side of what that number should be. Going forward as well with the amount of retirees. So, you know, the retirees you can predict if people stay under state law, both police and fire have to retire at 65. Mm-hmm. But there's many that decide to retire at 60, 62, 63 that don't necessarily, we can't necessarily plan on it, but they make the decision and that creates openings. So mm-hmm. it's a constant battle to keep them filled and try to keep to our complement in both departments. So this helps.
Yeah, I know you mentioned yesterday that the new station will be ready in just about a year. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. I know it can't come fast enough for the people that work in that old building.
Yeah. Interestingly, the brick police station was dedicated on this date in 1926.
Well.
And it's still in better shape than the addition.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we could go on and on about that addition. What a travesty that was. That was in the 80s, and I think they spent almost $10 million on that awful thing. And it never worked. You know, the mechanics never worked right. They leak constantly. The back wall isn't attached. It's just, I could go on and on. So we can't get out of there fast enough.
Absolutely. Finally, Mayor, we have to end on a sad note, unfortunately, with the passing of retired Fire Chief Thomas Gorman.
Yes, I had the good fortune of working with Chief Gorman for many years as Jim Sheets' Chief of Staff when he was the Chief. Early 90s, and then, of course, later he became the Director of Emergency Management for a period of time. He's the guy that went out screaming and kicking. When you say police and fire have to retire at 65, boy, oh, boy, he did not want to leave. He loved the job. He loved the men. He loved the whole fire service, and quite a historian with it, too. He collected a lot of items and pictures over the years, and I know on QATV he did another number of programs showing some old footage and pictures and describing some of the fires from many years ago and a lot of the apparatus as well. He knew the apparatus, backward and forward. Quite a guy. He also served on the Flight Deck Committee for many years with us. And mm-hmm. Real top shelf, a true Quincy guy. Yep. I don't think there was anyone I ever met that loved the fire service more than he did.
Yeah.
And of course, his father was the chief. Before him, many years before, so it's quite a tradition in that family. He's got a son George. He's a Braintree fireman. He's got nephews of fireman Quincy, and just love the job. So I certainly express my sympathy to Sally and his boys, and appreciate his incredible service to the city over the years. I know he's going to be waked at St. Joe's Friday and the funeral St. John's on Saturday.
And he was a longtime board member here at QATV and helped us tremendously obtaining our first remote broadcast vehicle years ago. So definitely loved the city as well as the fire.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I can remember years ago, I'd like to tell the story back when I was working at WJDA. Anytime there was a fire in the city, he would come right in afterwards in his full turnout gear, you know, dripping wet, smelling of smoke, sit down at the microphone and give us the blow-by-blow on exactly what happened. he knew the importance of community connection, for sure.
So, yeah, he sure did. And as I said, he just loved it. Truly loved it.
Yeah, so condolences on behalf of all of us here as well. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Have a great day, Joe.
Thank you, you too.